May 4th, 2023, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waraf Uddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.drmirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Before we get started this evening, we're asking everyone to make a dua, a short prayer. For our beloved brother, Robert Muhammad, better known, or some may know, have known him as Brother Robert Fivex. May Allah forgive him his faults and his sins and grant him paradise. Mukmin means safe. The Quran Surah 49, Ayah 12, suspicion in some cases is a sin. The Quran Surah 81, Ayah 21, he was obedient and trustworthy. So it is a shame that some of us are so distrustful in the Quran, and in Al-Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established that to be suspicious in human nature, but to carry it to the extreme may be sinful. Do you know that it is what holds us back? Now, we cannot progress like we should because we are too distrustful of one another. So we are given a leader who was called trustworthy before God called him. So when he knew nothing of revealed scripture, Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was called the trustworthy and the truthful. So why is that given to us? To teach us that our leaders must be trustworthy, and we then are obligated to trust them. And what is also to tell us of our All of us call mu'mins if we are believers. Mu'min, what does it mean? I can trust you. It comes from a root word meaning trust, not just faith or belief. The Quran Surah 49, Ayah 12, spy not. Student encouragement is to know his own human value. Spying in the United States is un-Islamic. Myths is also science. Imam Yusuf Salim, what are the components of an Islamic curriculum? You get them. From my opening statement, they are all there. Wholeness, truthfulness, integrity. For the body of knowledge, integrity, compassion, openness, encouragement to the student. And the best encouragement to the student is for the student to know that his own human value is also human, is human person. There is more, but I think what I said in the opening about the reality of the world that we live in and how the common belief that we get mostly from myths, but they call it religion, religious knowledge, that is myth. So myth is not foolishness. Myth is also science. But myth is a different language. So when religion tells the child that God made the man of clay, how long is he going to live with that? He will live with it all of his life. But I guarantee you, it has a negative influence and a burden on his education from preschool to college, university, and graduate school. He's carrying a burden on his psyche. If we could relieve that burden, get the burden out of his psyche, which I am trying to do, and a lot of people won't agree with me. Some people want to kill me for it. They will. They want to kill me for what I'm doing, but they can't do it because God has caused me to do what I'm doing. And when God wants me to stop, I'll stop. As long as I am doing what God wants me to do, they can't kill me. Only God can kill me. I know that. So I fear nothing. Not that I'm don't have human fears. I do. I'm a mortal. I have human fears. But as soon as I recognize or register the fear, it goes away because I recall my Lord and he takes away the fear instantly. My curiosity is always stronger than my fear. So there was never a time in my life when my fears was stronger than my curiosity. I'm only sharing that with you to tell you that the way you should be, don't be afraid to follow your curiosity no matter what the consequences are. We don't mean to go and peep into somebody's room. If you have that kind of curiosity, that kills the cat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid that we pray into privacy of our brothers and sisters, a person. So this spying that they have in the United States is un-Islamic. An Islamic country couldn't do it, tapping phones and stuff like that. An Islamic country, if it followed the religion, first, it has to know the religion. Do you think those kings know the religion? A lot of them are just as dumb as the people walking the streets. Walking the streets in religion. They raise them to know how to present themselves before their public and how to run the affairs of government, but that doesn't mean they have great insight into the religion. How much insight do you think President Bush had into Christianity or the Bible? If he had great insight, you would see a different President Bush. Some of us, we are naive, even educated ones. College and universities are naive when it comes to understanding this world and how it's constituted and how it works. So race, the Quran, trying to get organized here, 1 second. So race, the Quran Surah 49, Ayah 13, made you into tribes and nations. Genesis 37:3, Joseph, coat, many colors. They will tell you that this religion comes to make us all one ummah. Well, I know that Joseph was promised coats of various colors. It didn't say one color. It says various colors, and Allah, the Most High, says, and it is true, brothers on one equal frame, that word that says that the best of you is the one who is best in his obedience to God, that there is nothing that makes us superior to none, not our race, not our nationality, not our color. Only thing that makes us higher above one another, it has to be that we are higher than the other person or the other in obedience to Allah or our taqwa, and taqwa is another way of saying obedience to God. So God says that he distinguishes us like that through a movement or a belief that wants us all to blend in, so and ignore color and ignore national origin or ignore national identity or ignore ethnicity or ignore comparable distinctions in Islamic communities. In the national community, it is a movement in the religion that God intends that the very statement that they use as an argument against a person like me, who says that the African-American people should build upon their African-American excellence, should build upon their racial distinction that is good and excellent, to build upon the whole ethnicity, though it is down, so we don't even we should build upon the excellence from our excellence. One, once I identify myself as a human being with all other human beings, and once I know that God made the first human being and he made me, and I know that whatever I have, he put in that first human being, he put in me. He didn't make two different pots, one mix, and one formula. When I know that, brother, I am comfortable now in my original self. Original self before national identity. First, my original self, and before there was such a thing as nationality, before there was such a thing as ethnicity, before there was such a thing as racial differences, original self-existence. Now, upon the original self, I am going to structure my African-American. I can do, you all believe me, I can do it. I can structure the African-American people in their most dignified image. The natural foundation that God has given it to us in your originality for every God-fearing man and woman on this planet Earth, I can do that. And I can guide you into a cultural dress that will be excellent. Allah has given me this. And I can guide you into a race and an identity that will be excellent. I will make you more comparable. If you say that you are a black man or an African-American man, and anything is, so I don't see the Quran as a book that doesn't have an accommodation for my race pride or for my sober, dignified race consciousness. I don't see the Quran as leaving me out. I don't see the Quran as a book that leaves out my appetite for a decent and comparable cultural life, distant from each. Culture means dress. Don't you know what culture really means? Dress. God made nature, but then he dressed it. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, he made you tribes, nations, to know each other. So we have to get a curiosity to examine the white man, to examine the sciences, to examine his work, a curiosity that says maybe he is not the best, maybe I can do it better. If we believe that we are equal, then we should have that curiosity, the curiosity to feel that maybe he didn't do the best way. Maybe I can do it better. And didn't Allah encourage us to do that in his Quran? He said he made us from one community, and he made the people, tribes, and the family from one man, one essence, one nature, spreaded them out all over the world. And they became tribes and family, that they may know each other. And it says again that he made you different so that ye may know who is best in his works, so that you may know who is best in his works. Now, if Allah, the one of his purposes, is in separating us and making us different races or different communities to show, let us know who is best in works, then I must understand then that I should take this diversified pattern of society that I belong to as a challenge to me. God has made a Frenchman and an Irishman and a Nigerian and man from Ghana, Korean, etc., etc., etc. So he has made them, and this is an opportunity for me to show my place and my worth amongst all these men. That's what Allah is saying. So we should take this as an opportunity for us to prove ourselves, to get into the competition, compete with these people. And you can't compete with something that you think is impossible to reach. If you think that the white man is impossible to reach, if you think his knowledge is impossible to reach, or impossible to excel or suppress, you are finished. You are out of the competition. But when you suspect that he is not the Superman, when you suspect that he is not God, when you suspect that he is not your superior, then you can get into the competition, and that's what we've got to do. Get into the competition. Many of our people have gotten into the competition in the past. They have challenged the white man on different levels, and many of them have excelled them in their time. So we don't want to stop that. I find us in 1982 look like we are more complacent than we were in slavery. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, tribe, nations, to know each. God created us so we can get acquainted with each other, so we can benefit each other, because God has placed us in different parts of the world, and we have come into these distinctions, and we have an experience, work that I don't have, and I have what you don't have. So when we come together, look at the great liberation we will have. So we can liberate ourselves by our own selves. We need to come together with each other. Racism teaches distinctions. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, he made you into tribes and nations. It is wrong to project or depict the prophets as only white, only Jews, or all black. Any community of religious people on earth, regardless of their race and nationality, if they have insight into the language of Scripture, they will see that the prophetic figures are not racial, but are human figures and are the prophets of all people. That's the way we read the Quran. Our beauty is in uniting upon what is inherent in our life and nature while keeping our distinction that has evolved us what is inherent. So we are to keep the distinction. What we need is more is mental perception. perception to draw in the mind or to become clear for us in the mind. So many things affect perception, and perception affects all things for the individual. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, made you into tribe, race. Race distinction. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, he made you into tribes and nations. So we see each other in the noblest of identities, the human identity, not racial, ethnic, cultural identity. We are one human type, so we are equal, shared in the provision God has provided for us. The heart removes racism. The principles is inclusion, but yet distinction. So the heart is protection for our unity and our diversity. Every child in a household under the parent, don't they have equal rights, belong to one family? Don't the parent want to see each of those children pursue their interests that's lawful and legal and become their distinct individual person? That's what God wants for us. That's what the heart is saying. I want you all in unity as one, but I want you to keep your distinction that God approves of. My taste for clothing, my career choice. Allah don't want all of us as someone man, mind, and one picture. The Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 13, made tribes nations. So I believe that God created us for race pride, created us for racial dignity, that God intended for the white man to feel good about being a white man. But he also, the black man, to feel good about being a black man. That's the problem we have to work on. The Quran, Surah 50, Ayat 5-7, created everything in beautiful pairs. Yes, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran says he has made or created everything in beautiful pairs. Yes, beautiful pairs. So if you don't pair up, you stay ugly. Isn't that right? When you find people who don't want to be with anybody, aren't they ugly? I don't care how beautiful they look in the outer appearance. Ugliness inside make them even appear ugly outside. The Quran, Surah 50, Ayah 6-8, observe creation. God tells us about his work so that we will know better how to begin our work. God wants us to study his work so we know better how to plan our work. So this is how the world became great. So this is how civilization evolved. It is because of the free thinkers, thinkers who looked at the objective reality and took lessons from it and studied it and compiled the knowledge, arranged the knowledge, order the knowledge so that others will learn after them and be able to further the movement, promised land. So the good life that God created us for on this earth and after, real knowledge, true knowledge, is knowledge we find in the works of God. In the works of God, that's where we find true knowledge. The human being is a marvelous work of God, the Creator. You study the human being and you get knowledge of the human being, creation, the dermatologist studies skin. He gets knowledge of the skin from the study of the skin. Eye doctor gets knowledge of the eye from the study of the eye doctor who is over that know how to do the surgery job, to get the knowledge of surgery from the study of the meshing and coming together. the inner threads and workings of the material body. The Quran Surah 50, Ayat 8, Earth educates observe. The Quran Surah 67, Ayat 15, Earth manage, flattable, traceable. So don't just think of prayer from God and think of fasting in the month of Ramadan. That's from God. Eating after the fast is also for God, from God. Riding more than just the spirit, riding on the boat or the airplane 747, that's also from God. Yes, all of it is from God. He created the earth and you to have this great meeting. The intellect and the life in us embraces the creation, and the creation opens up to us. Then he created all of this to be our pillar, for us to engage it and plow it. If we would have the same sacred respect for the relationship Allah wants us to have with this external world, we'll call the material existence, we can have a good product from this external world. And many of them that will give us pleasure, just like the good, obedient children get the pleasure at home when he looks at them. The Quran Surah 50, Ayat 8, Earth to be observed by every devotee. The Quran Surah 40, Ayat 57, Universe, greater creation than man. So when a baby comes here, they don't speak Yoruba, Swahili. They don't speak Arabic. They don't speak English, Chinese, Russian. They come here speaking baby language, all of them. And they have to learn our separate languages. So God has created us one life and made us one and the same people. All of us are the same. Then we learn the differences. So we have different histories, different ethnic makeups, etc. But all of these are additions that were put on the baby. The baby just came here right out of heaven as one number in the family of human beings. And then our separate locations in life as revealed to us ethnically, racial, nationalism, or whatever it is, it puts a dress on the baby. It puts a tradition on the baby, and the dress of the baby is different, and he looks, but if you could go back and reverse, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says to God, it is the eventual return. Well, when we return, what are we returning to? We are returning to the original Muslim. So when you return to the innocent nature, the life of the baby, you are returning to the original Muslim, to the first Muslim. Or if you are a Christian, you are returning to the first Christ nature. Diversity for all men is good life and peace for all. So the language that we learn or express separates us, but if we could find the original language, reverse it and go back, and find the original language of our original nature, of our pure essence that God created, we want the same future for ourselves. We all want peace, a good life for ourselves, our families, and our children, etc. So we all want better, not hell. We pay a lot for hell, too. Half the hell, but we don't really want it. We don't want hell. We want heaven. Everybody wants heaven. So this is the common life. So this is the common good. This is the common destiny. The common destiny is the destiny that God has created for us in very human composition. God has composed us naturally, originally, to want goodness, to want heaven, not hell. The world is full with hell now, but we want heaven. We want peace. We want decency. We want to respect one another, and we want to be respected. So we want the earth filled with good people who care about themselves and care about others. So this is what every person wants. We cannot have this without respect for the best. If the followers of our neighbors would return to their better nature and listen to their better nature, and choose leaders with their better spirit and that better nature, the world could improve sooner. Misery would be taken off of our lives and out of our neighborhood. So if we would do that, but somehow the environment that we are living in these times is not as conducive for us collecting our better senses coming back, our better mind, as it were, for industrialization and accumulation of monies and things that give us pleasures, clutter neighborhoods, clutter buildings, cluttered with dead things. It is not like when it was before man chose this world and made it so crowded and so cluttered. So we need leadership to keep us aware of what is best for the original human life that God made, so that we know that this environment that we survive in every day, when we look across the street and down the corner and all the cluttered stuff that is in our view, when we wake up out the house, is not what God wanted us to look at. When we wake up and go out from our private quarters, God wanted us to see the beautiful world of living things, trees, animals, so beautiful. Look how beautiful fall season with all of those beautiful colors. See how God made the green things to grow strong and beautiful. But before they go to sleep for a long period of time, until spring comes again at the end of their efforts, what do they give us? Beauty, beautiful colors of fall. Look how beautiful it is. They're not only giving us beauty, and they give us substance for our life, fruits and grains and all of these things that we eat and support our life with. They give us all of that. And they give us so abundantly. At the end of life, they just drop the fruit down and give it generously to us. And it gives us beauty so generously. Now, God says in the scripture that he made a parable of human life as a parable of a plant. That tells me that God wants us to give our best before we die, before we taste that winter sleep. God wants us to give our best, give the beauty of life. So if we would be more religious and sincere, the philosophers, the prophets, and messengers of God, if we could be motivated by God's handiwork, his beautiful universe with all of its beauty, if we could be motivated by that, we would have a power to overcome a lot of these weaknesses that we have and a lot of these trends that set and takes us all to hell. We would have a power to resist that and overcome it. Universe bigger creation than man. Earth to be observed by every devotee. study of the earth increases your intelligence, this decency. God says in our holy book, man, don't think that your creation is bigger than the creation and the universe. The universe is bigger than us. And when we become separated from appreciating and relating to it, we become smaller and smaller. If we could reach out and start appreciating it, saying, oh, let me look at God's work. Let me look at what God did. And you look at it and appreciate it, increasing your own work. It will increase your intelligence. And most of all, it will increase your decency. But in man's world, you have nothing to look at but that you have not the original environment that God created to support your life and to open your life up to the great future that God intends for all of us, a great future that will make a paradise on earth for us if we would accept it. So we want the same thing. We are the same people. We are the same creation. We are one people. We are all human. That is our first identity. We are human. We are not dogs. We are not rats. We are not tigers or anything of that nature. We are not trees. We are human. So that is our first and most important identity. And because we recognize that as our true identity, we can be served by doctors. The doctor serves the black man. The doctor serves the white man. He is not interested in whether this person is black or white. He's interested to know if this person is human. He was taught to treat humans. So he has the science, the medicine, and the skill and whatever to treat humans. So life could be so much better if we would just close our eyes to everything we think that we know and ask God to open our eyes again for us. Thank you. And may God guide us in to his purpose for human life on this planet Earth. Amen. The Quran Surah 50, Ayat 9, rain, water, charge with blessings. Couldn't get its growth without the earth to give us the food, and really the sky gives us food. And Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, says this before modern science, says that he feeds from above and also from below. So that's what Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, says. Now, science tells us that where there are rain and lightning and thunder, the thunder and nutrients are formed above in the sky, and lightning and the charge of polarity of the field of electricity, the charges of it, and everything, those charges and others I didn't mention, it will form nutrients. And the water is not all water. I used to believe this until I read this, and I was a grown man with a family. And I thought that the sky rained only water. If the sky rains only water, we wouldn't have the luxurious, plentiful, and beautiful harvest from our gardens and farms that we have. It rains also nutrients. Nutrients also form in the raindrops, comes down with the water and nutrients. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that, saying he feeds. And it's only water he's not feeding. He's giving drink. So water is just giving drink for thirst. But if he gets some material inside the water, he's giving food and drink. And that's what science says. If we don't love a relationship with the material world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made to give us our material bodies and to engage our intelligence, our thinking, studious mind, then we are missing what is number one to develop our intellect and to be a real good student, productive, creative. Rain, communication, revelation from God. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 265, gardenless rain suffices it. Garden light rain suffices it. The Quran, Surah 50, Ayat 9, rain sent down charges. Allah compares sending communications from heaven as rain and describes it in the Quran as a light rain steadily coming down. It is not described as being heavy noise with lightning, where almost in 1 minute it is gone. This is the way a joyful message affects us. God mentions a light rain is not only water. Rain has water and material substance, particles to help the earth. Everything God created to communicate his will and plan to help the creation. Morning, interfaith, calm, high, clean, air, fruits. The Quran, Surah 50, Ayat 10, tall, stockly palm trees. Bukhari, page 158, believers like palm trees. Imams must get knowledge before they start teaching. People like palm trees hanging itself while growing up. And what is produced also other than those things that are used up quick like garden vegetable? It also produces tall and stalky palm trees with shoots of fruit stalk, piled one over another. I like to love it so much. You are just hugging it over and over again while you are growing up. Looks like the tree is hugging itself, doesn't it? Just thinking to God and for what is growing inside. And notice here in the sign from God, the tree goes up straight, and it is a date tree or an olive, and then it spreads out. It does not spread out too close to the ground, because if it does, its gifts won't go as far. So it goes way up, then it starts branches out. It is going to give you the fruits of a cleaner atmosphere, and it's going to give you fruits of a higher graduation. That means it's more knowledgeable. It went up high for more knowledge. The lower grade, the smaller the knowledge. So it went up high, and it branched out up there, and it would not branch out down here like that. So the date palm tree, and inside it has more fruit. In comparison than the apple tree or any other tree, up there in the little space, it just has big clusters of fruit. And the flavor is more intense than the apple. The sugar is more. The sweetness is more. I'm about to get up out of this seat and shout. My God does not want to stay in this seat. I'm going to give up. I have to get up. That is a sign to tell the leaders of this world, especially we brother imams, grow for a while before you start teaching people. Don't be so quick to think that you got it all and you're going to start giving people information in your infancy, instructions for the adulthood and manhood, and you are in your infancy. You are not Jesus Christ. You didn't talk in the cradle. You cried, moaned, and groaned in the cradle, laughed and made trouble. Get out of that cradle. First, go on up like the palm tree, and when you get way up there, where the air is cleaner and the weather is a little cooler. You went to a zone in your mind you traveled by mind power and went to a zone a little cooler, traveled by the power and went to a zone cooler, to a little higher region, all right? And you waited until you had graduated quite a bit before you spoke. And then you spoke, and you spoke delicious fruit. Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tall, stockly palm trees with shoots of fruit stockpile over one over another. So these are not the descriptions of the date palm, though the date palm is a little different. Like you trim trees, they cut it so it will grow and get more growth. So the more strain, and then it lit, and it less, and then it goes upward. So they cut it and trim them so they can go up high. And isn't this way for the growth of our intellect? Paul said it. What we knew as a child, we could not use it anymore. He threw it away so that the child speaks as a man. So when they are cutting off the wrapping and leaving the stem, it is the tree, not the trunk. The trunk, when you cut it, but it is what grows up as the post. Bark of the tree has no information. I have another picture now I want to share with you. A lot of trees, especially in the north, they are covered with bark. And in the Bible, I read, that's why I'm sharing it with you, that they are dumb dogs that can only bark. Now, the average preacher in these churches, they don't know that they are talking about the tree of knowledge, and they are dumb dogs that can only bark. Now, the bark is not really a part of the continuous growth of the tree. It is something growing on the outside of the tree, and it is giving protection, all right. It is covering the tree to protect the real life that is growing it upward. But the bark can't teach you anything. You take the bark off and research it, you teach it. It teaches you nothing, but you cut the tree and it gives you its age. It shows you how old it is. Every year, there's another ring. Resurrection, the Quran, Surah 50, Ayat 11. Sentence for Allah, servant. Resurrection is like growth for society. The Quran says, as substances for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servant, and we give new life therewith to the land that is dead, thus will be the resurrection. So how can we miss this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to whisper to us or keep secret. If you want to know what the resurrection is going to be like, he tells you it is going to be like growth for a society whose planet plants invest in the ground and the earth. They invest in their land and trust God to bless it from heaven. The weather now, like I did Labor Day weekend, and like those who were with me, they supported me with their hearts and their spirit and with their money. They supported me, and the rain did come. I asked two months, before I asked some of you, go and consult the Farmer's Almanac and tell me what they are saying about this weekend. I was told that they were saying that they expect rain. So we are coming to the conclusion now. So we should understand this is just one reference to the resurrection. showing that a parable or a picture of it, a town that is dead, not culturally developed, not industrially developed, and things happen to favor its birth and its development. So don't think of our individual life and soul that is taken care of by God. Don't worry about that. That is very selfish to think about your own self going to heaven and forget about all the other people out here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to think community, and he raises us to be a community, not selfish island of individual interest. Inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after iftar and salat, we will all be free. No freeze as persons in this bad society of ours, but free in the mind, in the mold that God created for us. We can go further than New York and Chicago, Los Angeles, and places like that. We can go as far as a space will allow. We can go to the end of the galaxy and beyond it if we stay in the form of our father Adam. And God made all of us, or God made for all of us, his children. That is the freedom I'm talking about. The freedom to travel in the original form. Keep it intact, please. Rich have money because of the poor supporting them. The Quran, Surah 51, Ayat 19, poor have rights to your wealth. Who was teaching were not educated people, and if he told them, whoever learns a little bit, he is obligated to pass that little bit into another ignorant person. So we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. So if you can understand it in that high fashion, pardon me, if you can't understand it in that high fashion, let me show it to you in a plain, ordinary sense of the word, of holding or protecting your brother as in the world. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, told his followers, help your brother whether he is in the wrong or the right. And they asked him, dear messenger of God, prayers and peace be upon you, how is it that we should help our brother when he is in the wrong? He said, hold him back from wrong. So we must understand that our religion is not like that religion that says you are not responsible for the behavior of your brother. You are. And in another place, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, says, the Muslim is a mirror for his brother. A mirror will show you your defects. If you look at it, if you turn toward the mirror, it is going to show you that which is crooked, wrong. Your face is dirty. It's going to show you. If you have an ugly expression on your face, that mirror is not going to make you look like a sweet dandelion or something. That mirror is going to show you just like you are looking. And if the mirror does not show you the way you are looking, the mirror is wrong. It is warped. But if it is a straight mirror, it shows you just what you are. It only reports what it sees, and it reports it correctly. So we must understand that should the strong assist the weak, let us not be any longer victims of this society that sensitized morally to ignore the weak amongst us, thinking you can't be responsible for the weak. Everybody has to make it for themselves. Anytime you accept that, you are accepting the law of the jungle, survival of the fittest. We don't buy that. Western society brought that, survival of the fittest. And believe me, most of their rulers over us, now that is their law. survival of the fittest. And they say, hell, let's throw this out there into society. The one who will be the one fit, the one that is destroyed, they weren't fit to survive. They go by the process of elimination. What does they call it in science? Natural selection. And it means selection by adaptation, and those who cannot adapt, they are destroyed. They say the strong should assist the weak. The weak, they assist the strong. So it is justice. Strong assist the weak. How have the strong gotten to be strong? Didn't they get strong with the help of the weak? Weren't they born from mother and father? They had to struggle. Many of them did not have education. They had to struggle to put the boy up in school. Then he gets strong. Doesn't he have a debt to the weak? The Western world doesn't. It all its scientific advancement, the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, the unlettered community. Didn't it get its to the sciences on the backs of the Muslims who represented an undereducated society? So how can they now, knowing that, ignore the ignorant masses and say that the survival of the fittest? Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, didn't say the survival of the fittest. He made Arabia fit. And before they were all ignorant, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Muslim, he is the keeper, the protector of his brother. And he must love for his brother what he loves for himself. And Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, no true believer can rest well at night knowing his neighbor is going to bed hungry. Our hearts must die to the open invitation that we have in this world to sin, and only then will we be able to open up our hearts and open up ourselves to the invitation to live an upright life. Language, speech, not for individual, but community. The Quran, Surah 51, Ayah 23, signs you have intelligent speech. Then by the Lord of the heavens and the earth, this is the very truth as much as the fact that ye can speak intelligently to each other. The Quran says, can you see signs in the faith that God has enabled you to communicate with each other intelligently? That is a sign that God don't want you to live as an individual. He has made it possible for you to communicate with each other intelligently. As long as we don't apply the rule of science, of sense, to our discourse or our communication, we are not going to be united. How can we unite with the Christians if the Christians are going to approach us or respond to us from emotional experiences where we can't come together? But because we have good Christian representatives, leadership here, we are able to respond from something higher up the range of human evolution, and then emotionalism. So we have some unity here today, and we represent some collective leadership. So this is the blessing that God said that he has put in us, that ability to express ourselves intelligently, and made it possible for us to communicate by intelligence or with intelligent expression so that we can become one. Self, eternal, divided, no communication within. I can remain one with myself? Don't you know once I lose intelligent communication within myself, myself becomes divided against itself? So when my moral nature can't communicate and make sense with my rational nature, then I have a war between my rational maker and my moral maker. So in order to have any own, in my own individual kingdom, in peaceful order, I have to be able to communicate or to relate intelligently, inwardly, between my different forces that are working in my being. The forces of intelligence, the forces of passion, the forces of morality, all of these forces are working in this one kingdom. And I am, and if I don't give them the language of intelligence, because God has not given us verbal language that enables us to unite, is that right? So the Chinese speaks Chinese. I can't talk to him. I haven't learned Chinese, but he's intelligent and I'm intelligent. We can overcome the barriers of Chinese and English. Is that right? And we begin to grow into a new language of communication in time. But it takes intelligence. Seven heavens, two arrows, one bow. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Insha'Allah. It only means as it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.